This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome in to Players Only with Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes.
Excellent throw and catch, just gets inside, uses his big body. No answer for number 87.
And former NFL linebacker Joe Mays.
Mays missed him first. And in typical North Dakota State toughness, Mays got up and stayed with it and got Newton from behind.
Hello. Check this out.
Players Only, presented by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit.
Hello, Chiefs Kingdom. Everyone out in the Chiefs world. It's not even a kingdom anymore. It's like Chiefs world.
Yeah.
Is it top of the food chain right now?
Is it Chiefs world or Mahomes world? Either or.
It's both.
It's both.
It's Chiefs world. We're on top of the food chain, and we are here with Players Only. We got Joe Mays in the building.
What's happening?
8-year NFL vet. Sean Barber.
Yeah, I can.
Linebacker, two linebackers.
I got a bone to pick.
Uh-oh.
Dang, that quick? Can I get to the intros?
Finish the intro.
All right. And I'm Danan Hughes, and we got Players Only again. Sean's moving around here like he got a bad back or something over there. Or he dancing, or I don't know what he's doing.
Well, he got to use the bathroom.
He got to go to the bathroom. He got to go potty.
I got a knife in my back.
Uh-oh.
Knife in his back.
Uh-oh.
We're going to get deep in here then.
We need to hear what this bone is about.
Yeah, we got
to
hear about this. Well, all right, we're here with Players. It's Players Only here again, and I am Danan Hughes. And for first-time listeners, we are a roundtable format with just players, former players in the NFL. We all played for the Chiefs at one time in our career. We're still here in Kansas City, and we're just going to chop it up, just like if we were in the locker room. You hear a different perspective straight from the horse's mouth from guys that have been on the field and in the locker room. And this Chiefs team coming off in this first quarter of the show, Chiefs team coming off a huge win against Joe Mays' Broncos.
They're not my Broncos. I mean, I just so happened to play there.
You got checks from them.
I got checks from them. Yep. Yeah, they brought me in. They gave me a huge opportunity. That was the first team I actually had a chance to start with.
Ah, nice.
So, you know, they gave me a start. They allowed me to go out there and play and start.
Did you beat
and play
the Chiefs?
Defense. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I think I might have beat them maybe once or twice.
I mean, we won the last 10 times, so I just wondered if you was part of that.
It's been a long time since I've been a part of that Broncos team. I mean, and I used to love playing here in Arrow Stadium when I was with the Broncos. Loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, I
never played here as an opponent, so I don't know how that feels.
I mean, I received death threats from the fans here. I know y'all didn't mean it. I know y'all. now that I've had a chance to be in Kansas City for a little bit of time,
I know that you.
I woosahed. I know y'all didn't mean it. I mean, y'all scared my wife, but I knew y'all didn't mean it though. Y'all was just, it was all about y'all taking care of y'all guys.
Yeah. All right, we got the phone lines open and a text line, 913-576-7610. That's 913-576-7610. But before we tackle this Broncos Chiefs recap, I guess I got to open the door up for Sean Barber. You set the table, teased through my open, So you might as well unload. Go ahead, man.
You've been stabbed in the back.
Stabbed in the back. You know what? It's a morning show that comes on this station. Bob Fesco in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Him and a couple guys. They got the key-keying and chi-chiing and all this about, you know, making some comments about me making picks. You know, we do the Survivor League thing. You know, I have no X's against my name. So I guess some guys on that morning show took it personal. And so they was like, well, you know, Barber, he sometimes tweets out who he thinks going to lose. And so far, he's been wrong. He's been so wrong to the point where I hope he picks my team as a losing team because that means I'm going to win.
Reverse?
They tried to use a little reverse psychology. But then Fesco had the nerve to say, well, you know what? He got a lot of kids. Maybe he's spending too much time getting his kids ready in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Went to my family.
Yeah, man. Oh.
And then got somebody to co-sign was like, yeah, well, he got 17 kids. He like the,
oh, dang.
He like the Philip Rivers. They called me and said, he like the Philip Rivers of Kansas City. And I said, yo.
Oh, man.
Dang.
Wait a minute.
They went in on me like that?
Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
I remember, was I on that? Was that Wednesday?
Man, this was this
yesterday?
Morning. No, it was this morning.
This morning.
9:07.
Dang, 9:07 Central Standard Time.
Because I went back and listened to it again.
Yeah.
Just to make sure I exactly heard exactly who said what.
Oh, man.
Because we got, we got a thing here called street justice.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
And we learned about street justice. My man Bink talked about it last night on the radio. There's a thing called street justice. You take care of yours.
Yeah.
You take care of your family, take care of your chicken, take care of your money. And he was upset that the Cowboys in the Redskins, when the Redskins knocked off Dalton's helmet, he thought somebody from the Cowboys should have went at Bostic.
Of course,
went to him.
I agree.
And he said that was something that's called street justice. And so that's what I feel like at this point in time
in this booth.
Man, when I see them cats, they best be ready.
Uh-oh.
Either one of them.
You ain't gonna miss.
Uh-oh. Either one of them.
Mm-mm.
You gonna drop the hammer on them?
I'm going to aim small, I'm going to miss small. I'm going to aim small, miss small. I might slap the taste out of both of their mouth at the same time.
A pity the fool. Who shot?
Street justice.
And I know y'all can hear him, but y'all just have to see his face. It's a lot of fire and desire there.
Because
he is really all about his business right now.
Yeah, you got Tina Marie, fire and desire coming out. There you go.
All right,
I'm glad you got that off your shoulders. You got that off your chest. You're all tight.
Yeah, I'm
ready.
You're
shaking it out now, and you're going woosah during the commercial break. But before we get to that commercial break, we got to talk about this Chiefs win.
You know what? I mean, I said it last week when y'all asked about when we talked about the keys of victory. I said you basically have to treat the Broncos as little brother.
Mm-hmm.
You go and put your foot on their neck, you know, and dare them and go tell mom, or dare them to try to get up and do anything to try to fight against you, and then you continue to put the foot down. So yeah, it was a game that it went exactly how I thought it was going to go. I mean, there was no way that it was going to go any way different, because you're going up against a Broncos team that's not really all that talented. They don't really have the guys on the team that they're used to having. And then I don't know what the problem is, but it seems that they don't have the offensive. They don't have a good offensive line.
Yeah.
And they've been struggling with that for years. I'm not sure why they haven't really went out there and gotten guys that can help protect the quarterback, help open up rushing lanes. But yeah, I mean, it went exactly how I thought it was going to go.
Joe, it's very simple. The Denver Broncos offensive line is delusional. Because after the game, Garrett Bowles had the nerve to get on and say, hey, man, it's only a little bit of difference between these two teams. We are our defense and their defense are almost kind of like the same. We, you know, the score might not show it, but these two teams are a lot closer than y'all think. Man, I don't know what game he was part of. And like I said, he might be just strictly, because he on some meds, so he might be strictly delusional. But there was at no point, the only time they had even a wink of glimmer was when a backup tight end fumbled the ball, and they had the ball in a scoring position. They went down, and, oh, man, old Drew Lock went through and did his little shake-em-up dance and Orange Justice in the end zone and slapped the ball down and did all this thing. He didn't realize he had three more quarters to play.
Three more quarters.
And did not sniff no more points. Turnover, special team touchdown, pick six. And where was that Orange Justice then?
I don't know. Yeah. I got a question for y'all, though. When you have guys that go out there and talk to the media, and a lot of the times it'd be those guys that's kind of on that fringe. Because I'll tell you one thing. Broncos Nation, they've been trying to get rid of Gary Bowles ever since they drafted him.
Oh, yeah. Last year, he was the worst offensive line. He had just about the most holding penalties in the league. Now, he's cleaned it up a little bit this year, but he definitely isn't a person that I would say has the credibility to talk about how close they are to the defending Super Bowl champs.
And then we just had someone text from the 913 say his Wonderlic score was an 8. I'm not sure if that's truth, but we need to fact check that because – if it's an 8, they say that he can barely write his name.
He's a sandwich short of a picnic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and the thing is, I don't understand how you can be – if anybody going to talk to the media and say anything like that, it has to be someone that's – how can I put this?
Doing something. That's doing something on the field.
Yeah, I mean, and for him to be the guy to go out there and say, you definitely take that with a grain of salt.
He reminds me of when he makes that kind of comment about how close he is, it's like when your kids pick up a map, like a real live paper map, and they say, oh, we must be real close to, you know, Wyoming, because on this map it looks real close. And then you have to explain to them it's thousands of miles away.
Yep.
It ain't that close. That's pretty much where he's been. So you're right, Barbershop. He must have been on some meds or just feeling himself, trying to instill some confidence that wasn't really there. I mean, it wasn't genuine.
He might have looked at the AFC West standings and was like, well, they in first, we in fourth.
that's too far away.
It ain't but three places between us, so... I mean, that's pretty. It's 32 teams in the league. It ain't but two teams between us. That's pretty close.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I would say the Chiefs did an outstanding job. It was a very complete game, probably the most complete game of the season. Especially when you get points on the board, not field position, not just the spark, but you get points on the board from all three phases of the game.
Absolutely.
And so you can't knock an effort like that. And if a team blows you out, scoring over 40 points with basically the MVP of the league only throwing for 200 yards, that should tell you something about how potent the team is. We've been around where the offense has been really good and the defense hasn't, and we've been around this organization when the defense has been really good and the offense hasn't. And special teams always has been kind of consistent for the most part, and all three phases came together when it was 1 degree with the wind chill factor, snow on the ground, on the road, and they get it done in that fashion against a divisional opponent. So it was impressive all around. And, you know, if you look at the stats of that game, if you didn't watch the game at all and you want to know how impressive a team win is, you look at the stats without watching the game, 0-for-8 in third down conversions, gave up 411 yards, but all of those factors were easily dismissed, which is hard to say in the NFL that you can dismiss 411 yards. But when you're standing in 1 degrees and you don't have the ball on your side because of a pick six and a kickoff return, and the defense is on the field much longer because they're actually doing their job, that's telling in itself. And it makes – so for all the fans out there and the text line is open. The phone line is open. All the fans out there that always get caught up in stats, this was a game that was the epitome of throwing stats away because they did not tell the tale of a dominating game by the Chiefs.
No, not at all. I mean, gave up a lot of yards, but I think the scoring on all three phases of the game, that's amazing. And plus, actually, breaking news. Gary Bowles' Wonderlic score was 9.
Oh, it was off by 1.
I know. I had to go back to that. I know the people was out there wondering what his score really was. It was a 9. We just fact checked it. So that just tells me that he have no clue what he's talking about.
Yep.
He have no clue what's going on. But anyway, this Chiefs team is amazing. I mean, you know, they're super potent, like you said, on all three phases of the game, and they can beat you any which way. Without giving up too many points, I think that it's great to see them come out and basically establish themselves each and every game, whether it's on offense or defense or both, and then also sprinkling that special teams in there.
Well, I'm a big fantasy head, so I'm going to try to give y'all some advice now. If you got Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs on offense, as far as your fan, you bought them high, you drafted them because they was part of this explosive offense, is going to need to be scoring every. I'm sorry. This is championship football being played.
Yep.
You do what you got to do. You maintain the ball. You run it. You possess it. You score when you need to. You let the defense play. Hold the other team under 17. You score 20. And you get out there with a win. You're trying to accumulate wins by any means necessary by scoring each possession. And the necessity for Pat Mahomes to score 50 touchdowns a season, 5,000 yards, he's already showcased he has the ability to do that. But now he's transcending above just personal statistics, and now he's realizing
how to win
in the NFL consistently, long term, against multiple types of defense, multiple types of coordinators trying to stop him. It takes first down, and then score a touchdown.
Yep.
You got to possess the ball, hold on to it. You control the factors. You control the rules of engagement.
Yep.
And the Chiefs have done a great job. Almost every game of the season, except for that Raiders game, they've done a great job of doing that. And I think the Raiders game is just, you know, I go back to that Raiders game because they did circle the stadium, and we ain't going to forget that.
Nope.
It's November 22nd. I got that circled. I know that date. I can't wait for that
Thanksgiving,
date.
Yep.
In Vegas, we're going to go out to the old spaceship out in Vegas, and we're going to take care of business. I know that. But until then, We got the Jets. Joe Douglas is the general manager. He's old Richmond Spider. He's coming to town. He's gonna bring Coach Gaze, who got some issues, but but Greg Williams can play. He can call some defense.
Oh, so yeah. And we're going to talk about the Jets matchup and the preview to that game later. Definitely a game the Chiefs should win. And we got the text line open from the 816, lifelong Chiefs fan. Love this show. Look forward to it every week. I'm 57 and have seen all of you play.
Woo-hoo.
We appreciate the support. But we're about to wrap this quarter up. For the second quarter, we got a little gem. Finally, another offensive guy that's going to call in and talk to us.
Oh, my God.
Former Kansas City Chief Kevin Lockett has a special little twist going on with his life that I think has been interesting for many fantasy owners and definitely many NFL fans. We're going to talk about that next. And we're back. Players only in the house. We got Sean Barber, Joe Mays, and I am Danon Hughes. We got the text line open, 913-576-7610. From the 620, wait, did the Raiders circle Arrowhead? Yes, they did. They circled Arrowhead before they got to the airport as a victory lap around a stadium they hadn't won in so long. I'm surprised they knew how to get all the way around the stadium. They probably just couldn't figure out how to get out. But they did take a victory lap, and it will be remembered. So, as I mentioned in the first quarter, second quarter sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. We got a special guest. Because he played on the offense and he was in the meeting room with me, he's even extra special because, quite honestly, I'm tired of these linebackers in here. Julio. We got to get these kind of guests on each and every week. But on the phone line, calling in, because he's got to head to his son's football game out here in Kansas, we got longtime veteran, current Kansas City Chief ambassador, former wide receiver, K-State star, Kevin Lockett. What's going on, Lock?
What's going on, fellas?
Nothing, man. How you doing? How's everything going?
Man, everything is always good with me.
I like it.
Hey, Locke, I appreciate you saving me from these defensive brains in here, at least giving me a little bit of break this 1 week. But, Locke, I wanted to get you on the line because you have a very unique platform because you have a son that's in the NFL. And for the fans out there that may have been living behind a rock for a long time, Tyler Lockett, the great wide receiver for the Seahawks, is Kevin Lockett's son. And so, Locke, you have an established career. Get right into it. You have an established career, great college career, and you have a son. And I what made me think of this was I was watching Ken Griffey Jr., special on him. You know I'm a baseball guy anyway. Watching a special on him, and he was talking about his dad, who Ken Griffey Sr., they also played together.
Yep.
And I just thought of the dynamic of we all been blessed. We all have family. We all have likely kids that have some athletic ability or maybe pursue athletics or look like they might for their future. But you are in a different stratosphere where you have a son that's actually – a superstar at the NFL level. Last week, he caught 15 balls for 200 yards. I think it was like 15 out of 17 targets for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he tied for first in the NFL this year in 7 touchdown receptions. So talk about the dynamic of having a son reaching the level that you reached and is doing it in such a fine fashion.
Well, I mean, you know, I had the same plan as the Griffies. My plan was to be playing with Tyler as well. But the league found my skill set to no longer be needed a little bit earlier than I expected. So, you know, so I got cast off to the side and I became a fan like everybody else. And, you know, like every father that's out there, you know, my job was just to try to impart as much wisdom and knowledge and things that I learned into the next generation, right? And what better place to start than with your own son? And so, you know, he had a passion for football. He grew up around it, and so we began to just really work on his skill set. You know, he was a talented young man, and I think just continuing to work helped him to have the opportunity to play at Kansas State. And then, you know, from that point on, as we all know, once you get into college, it's just about being in the right place at the right time, having the right opportunity to be one of the select few, one of the 1% that have a chance to make it to the NFL. And so, you know, of course, he had aspirations to make it to that level. But really, the goal was, let's get to college, let's get a free education, and let's get a head start on life. And so he was very blessed to still play under Bill Snyder, which, Damon, I know you got a chance to play yep. under him as the OC at Iowa. And I got a chance to play under Bill. My brother got a chance to play under Bill. So going to Kansas State was an easy decision for him. But he got a chance to really sort of highlight his skill set. And he was blessed to be drafted. And, again, we all know the NFL, again, is about, even more than college, landing in the right situation. And he landed in Seattle in a locker room where it was a heavy veteran locker room. Tyler is a very, very strong man of faith. And so it was a locker room where they were very accepting of that. And so that was a good thing because it allowed him at a young age to go into an environment that was not sort of normal, right? NFL locker rooms are normal, but to be himself. And I think because he could be himself, he had immediate success. And so he's just landed in the right place. He's been blessed his entire life. And I think the great thing is that he recognizes that. And he's very grateful for that. And so, you know, watching him on Sunday night this past week was just phenomenal. It was fun to watch, and you know, to talk to him after the game, I think was even more exciting.
Yeah, Locke, you brought up Tyler's book. It's called Reflection. It's out for sale, I believe, on Amazon and definitely on the internet. And we actually bought a copy of that several months ago. An outstanding book, an outstanding young man. Locke, from your perspective of being an established football player and now a football dad, do you feel like you have had more angst or anxiety when he was younger in high school and college, or now watching the games with him at the pro level?
You know, I'd probably say it was more in college, simply because I knew that he was walking into a situation, whether you consider it to be fair or unfair, where the expectations of him were going to be massive. He was going to a university where I had some success, my brother had some success, and so everybody had sort of expected him to start from day one to be able to produce the same way that we had throughout our entire career. And so I knew that was going to be a little bit difficult and a challenge. And so that's probably where I had the most angst. I think it wasn't until maybe about 5 or 6 games into his true freshman year when he had some really good success. And that's when I think it started to ease a little bit. But clearly it was more on the college level. I think, you know, I just am trying to enjoy the NFL level, just sit back as a dad and watch and just really enjoy the NFL. And so I always counsel him on, hey, man, look, you never know when it's going to be gone. So live it each day, love it, and just enjoy it, because when it's over, it's over. And I think the fact that I've walked in those shoes before him gives him the understanding and the knowledge to know that I'm not just talking. He knows that I've lived that part as well.
Words from a wise man. I like it. Hey, I got a question for you, Kev. What? Tell us something about Danon that we don't know. Like, because, you know, Danon, you know, he'd be around
be
here.
About Kevin
he
and Tyler, around man. Here
just talking as if, you know, he the best thing since sliced bread. And me and you both know he ain't. All right, but tell us something. But tell us something about Danon that we don't know.
Remember your allegiance to the offensive side.
Nah, this is not about offense or defense. This is about a man and his opinion on another man or what he's seen that the world may not know about. Since it's his players only, right?
Yeah. So I do have to be honest. Me and Danon, one unique thing about a locker room is, especially NFL locker room, there's only 53 guys in there, right? And a lot of while it's supposed to be a team environment, every one of us knows when someone new comes in that's in the same position you are, there is a sense of a team environment, but there's also this very competitive environment because at the end of the day, this guy is here to try to take my job, right? And so it's not like college where it's, man, I just moved down the depth chart. We're talking about our livelihood now. We're talking about, you know, the money that we can make and putting food on the table and so forth. And so, you know, you don't always walk into a locker room and get accepted, if you will. One of the things I will say that I was excited about is when I got to Kansas City, it was a veteran locker room. But that entire receiving corps welcomed me in. And so Danon and I, our lockers weren't far apart. Danon and I got very close very quickly. And I can remember us just having very candid conversations about just general life stuff. I remember Danon and I talking about, you know, budget and finance very early on in our careers. And what a lot of people may not know is Danon was actually very instrumental in me coming to the Lord. Danon knows that. But just watching Danon as a man of faith in that locker room, I think was one of the examples for me that as I was sort of trying to find my way over time, a few years into that locker room, he really was one of the guys, along with a couple others, Chester McLaughlin and Tony Richardson and a couple others, that really helped lead me to what I still consider to be the best decision ever made in my life. So, man, I have the utmost respect and admiration for Danon. But even so, even as much as I love him, that still don't stop me from taking him out on the golf course.
Dang, you had to slip that in there, man.
Hey, you had him
you
sweating
were going
for a
really
second.
Good. You was really on a good take until that.
I was watching him the whole time. He was sweating. He wasn't sure what you was going to say. And then he went from sweating to straight face to a smile, and I think he had a tear that came down, too.
Yo, A-Lock, we know you got to go. You got to head to your son Sterling's game. He's playing for Blue Valley, one of the Blue Valley schools?
Yeah, so he's playing for Blue Valley. He's a junior. They got the first playoff game tonight. And you know, you talk about anxiousness, like you said before. I have a little bit, but not as much because he played well last year, but he's already been offered by Kansas State. So,
nice.
So that anxiety
Congrats.
Kicked right back in again, right? Because now, man, if that's the decision that he makes, man, I'm going to be sitting out in those stands hoping that he can have some early success because his expectations will be even greater after Tyler came through.
Yep. Well, awesome, man. You've definitely been blessed. You and Cheryl, a great family. Good luck to Sterling today. And also, he's got some twins. Sterling and the twins can really play some baseball. I'd like to see them on the baseball field, but again, I don't have any power in that family. But again, Locke, good luck tonight. We appreciate you, man. I just wanted your perspective from a guy that has so much success from a son and from other families, from other family members to come, man. You've definitely been blessed, and I think the fans would love to hear about it. Thanks
Absolutely.
A lot, man.
I appreciate you guys.
All right, we players only. We got Reggie. Please hold on. He's on the line. We got a lot of texts coming in, 913-576-7610. We are going to continue on the route of the personal side of being professional athletes with Barbershop, Joe Mays, and myself, and we're going to do that when we come back after halftime.
This is Players Only with Danon Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
All right, we're back after halftime. It's Players Only, Sean Barber, Joe Mays, and I am Danon Hughes. We're in the house. Our friends at U.S. Bank, whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Guys, we got a chance to hear from Kevin Lockett about his great relationship with Tyler Lockett and just that dynamic of having a son fulfilling his dreams. You guys have some younger sons and kids, and I have older kids. My youngest is 19, so I've had four of my five kids into adulthood and achieve their dreams, going to college, playing sports, now going to med school and getting a master's and all that stuff. And even though we didn't get a chance to ask Lockett specifically, we could tell by his answer that there's no bigger height of satisfaction, of excitement, that beyond going to the Super Bowl, playing in the Super Bowl, being a Pro Bowler, having a great career, than watching your kids be successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was real cool. And we appreciate Locke taking out his time before he head into his son Sterling's football game. And but on that note, and before we get to the next topic regarding our transition from the game and maybe some of the mindset, some of the things that go on within our brains and in our world that are off the field normally, we're going to go to Reggie from Anaheim. Reggie, what's going on? Reggie, you there?
Hold on. Can y'all hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Okay. Oh, yeah, my bad. Yo, so I just want to make a two quick comments. I've gotten so accustomed to just beating the brakes off of everybody in the AFC West. Like, after the game, I really don't even break down the game as much as I used to, like when Pat first got here, because I'm just so used to just smacking them around. But after we lost to the Raiders, right, and they went and took that little victory lap around the stadium. Like, I never considered the Raiders like a rivalry with us. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we'll beat them 50 times and they'll beat us one, and then they'll act like they've beaten us the equal amount of times. And it's like, we beat them 10 times in a row, and then they took a victory lap, and I felt some kind of way about that. And I was like, hold on, this is what we're doing? I kind of felt like Jay-Z in that Blueprint album. We held y'all down for 10 summers. Where's the love? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I wonder if y'all could talk about, you know, what if that will make it into the locker room with Andy, you know what I'm saying? If he'll bring that up maybe, and just as a player, how y'all feel about these chumps taking victory laps around Arrowhead?
Well, you know what? It's eventually going to make it throughout the entire locker room, including the coaches. You know, the thing about Andy doesn't really care about any of that. I mean, you know, he hear it, he'll see it, but he don't necessarily let that bother him. He don't let that affect how he go about his day. Now, when it comes to the players, they see that, they hear about that, and they keep tabs. So, you know, the next time they play them, they're going to remember them taking that lap. So now, instead of them taking a lap around the stadium because they're celebrating the win, they're going to send them straight to the locker room, not even shake hands. They're going to be holding their hands in their faces. Like, they're going to try to embarrass them. And it's little things like that that really get the guys going. I mean, of course, it's a rivalry game because, they're both AFC West teams. But at the end of the day, for them to do something like that, you just add more fuel to the fire. So I expect the Chiefs to come out and play so much better the next time they play. And, they might even take a do you take a victory? No, I don't think you're going to take a victory lap. I mean, you could and you should. You'll be the first team in Vegas to do so, but I doubt they do it. They'd much rather just go in and just smack them around a little bit. What you think, Barbershop?
I mean, after winning as much as we have in the AFC West, it's almost embarrassing to think other teams would think one win signifies anything worth taking any kind of lag, any kind of anything from. I mean, it was, you know what, the Chiefs played not their A game. The Raiders came. The Raiders were preparing for a bye week, and we always know going into the week before a bye week, players, that's that extra carrot on the bone. The coach lays it out there. Hey, guys, if you show me four quarters of high effort, you show me four quarters of execution, you can earn the week a bye week off. If you don't, we're going to practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I'll give you a day, maybe two off. But if you want to earn this extra time off, you show me on the field. So that's always an added carrot, and we always know that there are the ups and downs NFL season and how you play game by game. The Chiefs were still up 21-10, I think, in that ball game early in the game. And they just didn't put the Raiders away when they had a chance. And they got beat over the top two or three times. Defense playing loose man instead of the normal, rerouting the receivers. They were trying some different techniques. So, yes, the Raiders won the game. Great job. You know, take your hats off to them. But over the course of the next few seasons, it would surprise me if the Raiders win more than one game against the Chiefs
break after
in the next six seasons.
Well, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate the call from the text line 913 KC. Be up for the Raiders this time for sure. They will
absolutely
definitely target on the calendar and on the schedule. Also from the 913, love hearing from Reggie. We need a weekly spot for him. Okay.
All right.
And 913, giving love to Barbershop. At Barbershop, how can I get your autograph? Do I need to make a donation to your charity? Also, D and Mays can answer.
Barbershop.
Donations are always welcome to charities. It's not necessary, but they're always welcome. And I think we're all associated with some sort of charity. So that'd be cool, right, Barbershop?
Hey, man, if you want to make a donation to me.
I was thinking my pockets, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, y'all know about that Survivor Series. It's sponsored by a company called Own KC, Reppin' KC, donate, get yourself some good gear. So do that. Go to ownkc.com, pick out a nice shirt. It might cost you $30, $40, but all the proceeds go to charity. And Matt McGinnis and McGinnis Group, he only takes the price of the actual T-shirt, which is usually $5 or $6, and the rest of the money goes directly to charity. It's probably one of the only 100% net profit going to charity companies you'll find here in KC. So support that, and then I'll find you and get you a couple autographs.
Yeah, Barbershop will find you for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys, we got to end the third quarter. We're going to come back in the fourth quarter, talk about this Jets-Chiefs preview. There's definitely more to it than maybe people might think because of the Jets being 0-7, but we'll chat it up next.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
Fourth quarter here, Players Only. I'm Danan Hughes. We got Sean Barber and Joe Mays in the house. Got some callers lined up as well as some great texts, but we're going to go right to BB in Kansas City talking about the Raiders' victory lap. BB, you there?
Oh, it's Ed. Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on, man? What you got for us?
You know, the Raiders did their victory lap, and we got a Kansas City flag buried under their new stadium. When they clobber them here coming up, got to cut their flag down and raise the Chiefs flag above their stadium. You know, paybacks are hell, but you know they started it. We'll finish it for them.
Appreciate you, man. Definitely appreciate the call. Appreciate the support. I will say this. The fact that fans are talking about the Raiders' victory lap, and we don't have to play them until November 22nd, almost a full month from when we have to play them, tells you how much is going to be stirred up by the time that game comes around. And it's after a bye week on Sunday night in Vegas, Sunday Night Football primetime. That's going to be a special game for the Chiefs Kingdom.
I mean, and of course, you know the Raiders, they knew that this was going to get under people's skin.
Yep. John Gruden, he don't care. Yeah, he don't got to put a uniform on. He don't got to put a jersey on.
He don't care about that. I mean, and the players, they knew what they were doing. So for them to do that, now people are still talking about it. Oh, it's going to make for one hell of a game for sure.
Oh, yeah. Emotional game for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Defending Super Bowl champs, don't take kindly to that type of stuff. Nah. But we got to think before we head to the Raiders or get anywhere close to that Raider matchup, we got the Jets coming in town.
Yeah.
Chiefs versus Jets. Chiefs, last time they were on the home turf, they lost to the Raiders. They redeemed themselves as far as perception nationally, but these last two wins, but now they get to redeem themselves on their home field.
Yeah, and I mean, against a team that's continuing to struggle week in, week out in the Jets. I think this is going to be another one of those games where they're just going to come in, they're going to do a couple things here and there and basically run through this team. Now, I mean, I could be wrong. You know, the Jets could come in, they could play well, they could play hard, they can play the Chiefs up into the wall and up into the last second of the game, but I don't think that it's going to be that type of game. They seem really dysfunctional over there. It's a bit of a disconnect between the coaches and the players and the upper level staff members. So, I think it's a good team to play. I mean, because you just basically create more mayhem in their building. And at the end of the day, you get a chance to go back in your space, drink water, drink Gatorade, and just enjoy yourselves as a Chiefs player. So, yeah, they're just going to come in. They're going to dominate.
Well, you know, I got a bunch of fantasy stats and everything, so I would say
don't be that guy, Barbershop.
Now, you definitely got to bench Crowder. You got to bench Gore. bench Sam Donald.
Bench everybody.
Hey, bench everybody that's associated with the Jets.
Okay, how about who do you have to activate? How about
nobody. I was trying to. You know, if you got Breshad Perriman. He can be a flex guy kind of if you really struggling to find somebody to play, the ball got to go somewhere, and Crowder and Gore both questionable for the game. I mean, I don't know who they're going to line up on offense and try to do anything with. P. Ryan is, I think, one of the backup running. I mean, they had Le'Veon, but now we got Le'Veon, so it's
they have Freeman McNeil too. Back in 1980,
we took their best weapon, and now we got it and gonna unleash him against them. So, I mean, and they've been trying to trade away some of their best assets on defense. And Williams been in trade talks, rumors. Quentin Williams, one of their recent first round pick for him. So it just doesn't look like that. Yeah, organizational wise, everybody's saying that they're trying to get Lawrence, mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence. They're trying to position themselves. But like I said, man, defensively, I think Greg Williams, he doesn't seem to be the type of coordinator I know that is going to lay down. He's not going to lay down. His opportunity to get after quarterback, his opportunity to blitz, bring the pressure, challenge you every snap. And that's the ball game you got to be ready for if you're the Chiefs offense.
Yeah, I look at this game as an opportunity to show how dominant we are mm-hmm. when you're playing against a team that you're supposed to beat. And I go back to the coaching I had, Marty Schottenheimer. You win at home, you win in your division, and you beat who you're supposed to beat. So they can obviously accomplish two of those three things this week. Redemption on their home field and beating a team that, quite honestly, nobody feels like they should be having even a chance. But
yeah.
There's only been three teams that have gone winless in the NFL since the merger, a full season. The Browns, the Lions, and the Bucks. There's a reason why there's only been three, because on any given Sunday, anything can happen.
That's true.
So can't overlook this team. It's still an NFL team. There's still guys that get them paid over there.
Yeah.
And they know, or at least the ones that are true pros, know that they may not come out victorious, but what's on film might get them another job in the
true.
Coming years. So that's the reality of the NFL, is that you're always on stage for 31 other teams.
True.
No matter how good or bad your team is, especially with how we've seen the increase of trades and in the NFL in recent years. So can't overlook them. The one thing I will say, and I'll talk about this on the pregame show as well, there's a difference between playing not to lose and playing to win.
Yep.
And I think Andy Reid is one of the greatest coaches to ever take the field at preparing his team to win. But I always get concerned when you play against a team that's significantly worse than you, that you start getting into conservative mode later in the games and you're trying to protect the win mm-hmm. as opposed to keeping your foot on the gas pedal and pushing them out of the stadium. So, and I also think on a bad team like that, Sam Darnold, with all the weapons that Barbershop you mentioned that are going to be questionable or out of the game or not significant, make them put together 12 to 15 play drives. Because
mm-hmm.
normally bad teams can't do that. If you give them an opportunity like the Raiders where you take the top off of defense and give them a couple of big plays, make their drive short, they're professional athletes. They'll be successful. But if you make them consistently go 12 to 15 or 16 play drives to put points on the board, more times than not, they will fail. So those are, to me, the ways that the Chiefs come out of this game, hopefully unscathed and no injuries. But do not overlook this team. They're ninth in turnover ratio, taking the ball away from teams 10 times. And they're fifth in the defense in red zone touchdowns. So, like Barbershop, I think you mentioned it earlier at the onset of the show, they get tougher as you get closer to their goal line.
Yep.
So definitely another professional team will be lined up across the field from us, and we got to step up and be the champions that we are. But I think it's definitely a winnable game, and Vegas has it at like 19 or 20 points, I think, spread, which is one of the largest in NFL history, I think. So, those guys don't big those big, shiny buildings because they're wrong too much. So, definitely a winnable game.
Yeah.
But, guys, I appreciate it. I think we appreciate Kevin Lockett joining us for the show, giving us some insight. We appreciate the text line. Got a lot of love today from a lot of listeners, and we appreciate that from the 816. They love us, Lake Irving. And we got some questions that we may tackle next week. So if you jump in with us next week, you'll hear some personal side of the game from our perspective and things we're doing on and off the field as well. So definitely jump on with us next week. Again, players only. Joe Mays, Barbershop, and I'm Danon Hughes. We appreciate you. Go Chiefs.
This is Players Only with Danon Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.